Okay, so I want to dive back into where we left off last time. See if I can get a little deeper into this. It'll be ready for the compiler lecture coming up. Alrighty. So where we were was developing programs that print lyrics to songs. Maybe not the most commercially useful task, but at least one that's easy to think about. So what we've been pointing out, what I've been trying to point out, is that you can always print out a song by printing each line of the song. But even in songbooks, they don't do that. They always have a notion of choruses and repeats and do this, but in the end do something different. They find ways of making the description of the song shorter than the song itself. And we're taking advantage of that by defining new commands in the language that define, we call these subroutines. Sub meaning smaller than that. So for this All My Loving song, we ended up identifying that there's two main subroutines, or one way to break it down would be to say that there's these two blocks that are repeated. This one block that's repeated twice. But even within that, there's a couple lines that is repeated outside of it. So we can actually define this in terms of two different subroutines. One. Which does these three lines, while I'm away, I'll write home every day and send all my loving to you. Then these blue ones we can define by printing the first three lines, and then to print the second three lines, we can call this basically a sub-subroutine, right? A function that's being called by a function that's being called by the main song. And now the main song becomes sing a blue block, which has inside of it sing a yellow block. Then three more lines, sing a yellow block. Two more lines, sing a blue block. Three more lines and the song's over. So if we actually define this program and then run it in Python, say, this program expands out into this song. Now, for this example, it actually doesn't look any shorter, does it? About the same. But this is a bigger font. So I don't know, if they were the same, I think it ought to have a couple fewer lines. Yeah. All right, but I'm just trying to get the idea across now, right, of this idea that you can define new commands in the language. And that when you define a command, you have access to all the other commands that were defined, including ones that you yourself defined. Subroutines calling subroutines. All right. This one, I guess, doesn't really teach us anything new, but it is pretty amazing. These Beatles people were a little bit bizarre. So this is a song 8 days a week. The longer I stared at it, the more I felt like I didn't understand how they possibly constructed a song like this. But they sing two lines, I'll call them blue. They sing another four lines, I'll call them red. Then they sing two lines, call them yellow. Then they go back to the red. Then they do a new thing, two lines, I'll call it green. Then they go back to blue, then red, then green, then yellow, then red. And then they just end up singing 8 days a week twice. What a weird song structure. Nobody writes songs like this. You guys are insane. Hell of a band, though. And so here's how you might write that in Python. We define a subroutine for the blue block, which just prints those four lines, and one for the red block that prints those four lines, yellow block, green block, and then the song becomes this. It says, do the blue block, then the red block, then the yellow block, then the red block, then the green block, blue, red, green, yellow, red, then print 8 days a week twice, and the song's over. All right, any questions about that? Just trying to reinforce that idea. Oh yeah, clickers, I forgot to do clickers. In fact, yeah, let's do that. So I'm next gonna dive into songs that start to get a little weirder. It's funny, because the songs that you learn earlier in your life are the ones with the most bizarre structure. It's an old McDonald, man, it's tripping. All right, so please take out your clickers. We'll do a couple clicker questions, one of which, the reason that I was reminded of this is you guys are doing that silent thing where I say, you get this, and then everybody just goes completely silent, which again, it's hard to know if that means yes already, or I have no idea, but I don't want to hear the explanation again. But I have a question about this, so this will actually tell me whether you're getting it or not. So let's start off with this one. So in my computer, the ML3 computer, each memory location contains a pattern of 7 bits, a number between 0 and 127, an instruction involving a variable and the accumulator, or each memory location can actually be interpreted as all of these. Starting now. Now. All
Uh-oh.
It's doing that thing again. Oh, no, 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 no. Okay, we're stopping. If you enter your last thing quickly. Okay, we're done. There's reason to believe that there's some other people with clickers somewhere near here. They're doing denial of service attack on us. All right. So the answer I was looking for is in my computer, each memory location for the computer does contain a pattern of 7 bits. That's what was being stored. 7 bits you can interpret as a number between 0 and 127. So these are really the same thing. An instruction involving a variable and the accumulator, I explained how each of those could actually be interpreted as an instruction as well. And that's exactly what the program is storing, or the computer is storing, the sequence of instructions to execute. So really, it's all of these. So D is what I was looking for.
So a lot of people like the pattern of 7 bits. And that wasn't wrong, it's just that it wasn't as right as saying that it actually is all of them.
And then two people said E. Oh, it's possible.
Wait, hang on a second. So 11 people said D. It's possible that A was the right answer in the other class. So this may not be all of us who said that.
So I won't try to put too much interpretation on it. All right. So when I use the word instruction set, am I talking about a guide for building a computer, the instructions,
books for learning programming, you know, it's kind of instruction, human instruction, operations that make it that a computer chip can do, sort of instructions to the computer, making something simple complicated, like making it more complicated, or members of the now defunct New York City punk rock band
called Instruction. The set of them would be the instruction set.
Punk rock might not be the right term, alternative rock. Is that the pen or the clicker?
All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, right, the instruction set. All right, so this is the question that I really wanted to ask right now. What would this print?
We've got a definition of a new subroutine A, a definition of a subroutine B, and then we call B. We say, do B now. What ends up being printed out? Do we get Brillig followed by Minzy? Do we get Minzy followed by Brillig? Do we get just Minzy? Do we get Brillig, Minzy, and Brillig again? Or do we get nothing because there's some problem here?
Last licks in. Oh, good. All right. So
this is what we've been doing for the last block of lectures. So what does this new definition of A do? Whenever we say do A, tell the Python do A under this definition, it prints the word Brillig. Do people know Brillig? This is from the Jabberwocky poem. These are made-up words from Lewis Carroll. Whenever we say A, do A, it prints out Brillig. Now we say, all right, if I tell you to do B, here's what I want you to do. First, I want you to do whatever A says. Then I want you to print Mimsy. Then I want you to do whatever A says. So if you break this down, first doing whatever A says means printing Brillig. Then it's going to print Mimsy. Then it's going to print Brillig again. And so now we tell it, OK, now really do B. So it's going to print Brillig, Mimsy, Brillig, which is D.
All right, very good. Good. So given that, all right, you get the idea. I found a MIDI for all McDonald's. All right, so here's, this is the old McDonald's song. There's different ways to sing it, but this is the way that I would like it sung for now. All right, so old McDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. On his farm he had a cow, E-I-E-I-O, with a moo-moo here and a moo-moo there, here a moo, there a moo, everywhere a moo-moo. Old McDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Then when we go into the second verse, he had a pig, and when he has, with a snort, snort, we can do the sound. All right, snort, snort here, and a snort, snort there, snort, there, snort, everywhere, snort, snort. Then we do this, the cow sounds again, with a moo-moo here and a moo-moo there, a moo, there a moo, everywhere a moo-moo. All right, the third verse, we have a horse, we neigh like the horse, then we do the snort and the moo again, and then finally, this last verse, we have a chick, we cluck, cluck, and then we do all the other sounds, neigh, snort, moo. So you can see that in terms of finding some substructure here, we get the moo first, then we get a snort moo, then we get a neigh snort moo, then we get a cluck neigh snort moo. And so what we'd like to do is make a program that would actually construct this, that captures this structure. So the straightforward way to do it would be to say, well, the most straightforward is just print the lyrics, but the next one is to say, all right, we sing the first two lines, we do the moo. We sing the next set of lines, we do a snort, then a moo, where the snort and the moo are defined here, just like the Brillig and Mimsy example. Then we do the third verse, we do nay, snort, moo. We do the last verse, and we do cluck, nay, snort, moo, and then the last line. So there's nothing new here. That's the same old story that we've just been doing. But here's the thing that we can notice. Notice that each time we snort, we follow it with a moo. So we never snort and then neigh. We always snort and then moo. Whenever we neigh, we follow it with a snort, which of course is also followed by a moo. Whenever we cluck, we follow it with a neigh. So we can actually move the earlier noises into the later subroutines. But watch this. So we can define snorting to actually do the snorting and always do the mooing afterwards, because it always comes next. The mooing is just the mooing. Neighing is followed by snorting. Snorting has mooing built into it, and mooing moves. So now, when we actually, and similarly with cluck. So now you can see what we do when we sing the song is we do the moo verse, we do the snort verse, which includes the mooing, we do the neigh verse, which includes the snorting and the mooing, and we do the cluck, which also includes the neighing, the snorting, and the mooing, just like that. So now it's actually gotten a bit more compact. It kind of gets at the notion that whenever we do this, we always follow it with that. So that's a little cleaner. Nothing new here, just a kind of clever realization that we can nest these subroutines very deep. So, good. So let me, so this turns out to be, what I'm going to show you next is a way of visualizing what's going on when these programs are running. So they have to kind of keep track of where they are and where they're being called from. And so one way to think about this is with what we actually call in computer science a subroutine stack, but I'm going to visualize it as a stack. So here's the old McDonald program. Does the printing, it has the mooing in it, and so forth. When we start to run this, what happens? Well, the first thing that happens is it prints the first two lines. Okay. Then it says, hey, I need you to do the moo subroutine now. Now, it can't, Python doesn't know what the moo subroutine is, except in that we've created a definition for it. So now what it needs to do is actually look up that definition. So let's say it takes the definition, and it kind of puts it on top of where we were working before. It keeps a little red arrow so it doesn't lose its place, but it puts the definition on top of it. On the stack. And what this definition says is, okay, print these four lines, and when you're done, pop this off the stack. Poof. Okay? So that's basically what it did. It sang the first couple lines, it did the moo thing, it came back, it prints another couple lines. Now it's time to snort. How do we snort? We bring up the snort subroutine, we put it on the top. The snort subroutine says, print a couple of lines, then moo. How do you moo? Okay, let me look that up. There we go. Here's how we moo. We'll moo. We'll finish mooing. That's the end of the snort subroutine, so we're done with that. We pull it off the stack, and then we move on. We print a couple more lines, and then it's time to neigh. Well, how do we neigh? We bring up the neigh definition. It says print a couple things, then snort. How do you snort? Bring up the definition. It says print a couple things, then moo. Right. Again, I'm sorry. How do you moo? Put that on top of the stack. We do our mooing. We discard it. Now we're done snorting. We're done neighing. And we're back to the original algorithm, the original subroutine. We now print a couple more lines, then we cluck. How do we cluck? Well, here's the definition. We print and then we neigh. How do we neigh? Well, we print and then we moo, or snort, sorry. See, that's why you have to look up the definition. How do you snort? You print and then you moo. How do you moo? You print. Okay, we're done with that. That was the last thing, so we're done with this. You can see that you need,
If we didn't have this arrow, we pop back to here, we wouldn't know where we were. We might be in the middle of printing or something like that. So this arrow tells us, okay, we're at the bottom now, we're done. We can discard this off the top of the stack. Pop, pop. We print the last two lines, and that runs the whole program. So it really needs to keep track of where it is at each of these levels. And so that's what the whole purpose of the stack is for. So let me summarize where we are so far. So what subroutines let us do is if you've got the same sequence of instructions repeated in multiple places in your code, you can just gather them up and put them, make a subroutine out of it and just call it directly. We can actually nest these subroutines inside of other subroutines. I showed you how that worked. But now what I'd like to introduce, or at least start to introduce, is the notion of parameters. Now we can actually make functions that behave differently depending on how you tell it to work. So I think I have time for just this one. No, you're getting antsy, but I still have 6 minutes according to my clock. So here's another Beatles song. It's just a great source of this. So this is Magical Mystery Tour. I think I actually have the, no, it's just a MIDI file. One of these I had in my library. So, roll up for the Magical Mystery Tour, roll up for the Magical Mystery Tour. The Magical Mystery Tour is waiting to take you away, waiting to take you away. And the second verse is, they sing the same thing again, except now they say, it's hoping to take you away, hoping to take you away. Then they do it again, except this time they say, it's actually coming to take you away. It sounds much more intimate now, coming to take you away. And then there's a little sort of mini verse with dying in it. So if we were to do this in terms of printing with subroutines and so forth, we would kind of be stuck because there's a slightly different word in each of the verses. So if we made a subroutine for this verse, it would have to be different from the subroutine for this verse, which would have to be different from the subroutine for this verse. So that's kind of unfortunate. If we could just kind of ignore those words, though, they're the same. So this is what, based on what we've already talked about, this is the best we can do. We'll have a subroutine for the first verse, subroutine for the second verse, subroutine for the third verse, and then the song is sing the first verse, sing the second verse, sing the third verse, sing the last few lines and you're done. But this seems kind of silly. Yeah, go ahead.
Why can't you just have it like, that's the chorus,
the whole thing, those three. Oh, we could, yes, right. We could have just taken these four lines because they are repeated multiple. That's true. But we're going to do slightly better than that. You're right. I could have done better than what's on here, but I'm going to do better still. Here's the idea. And this may get a little hidden, but it's not hard. But I will ask you about it at the beginning of the class next time. So we're going to make a mystery verse subroutine that takes as input a word X. Okay? Notice all the examples that we've had up to now were just two parentheses next to each other. There's nothing in them. They always do the same thing. This one actually does something different depending on what X is. So what it does is it prints roll up for the Magical Mystery Tour. The Magical Mystery Tour is X to take you away, X to take you away. All right, so whatever it is that we give it for X, it's going to print this verse, substituting X in at that place in the verse. All right, so this looks a little different. We have print statements that print actual words, but here's a print statement that actually fills in the blank. It's kind of Mad Lib-ish, right? So there's kind of an empty spot, and we're going to fill it in with a word. So that's what this subroutine does. Now look what the song becomes. Song becomes sing the verse with the word waiting, sing the verse with the word hoping, sing the verse with the word coming, say the last few lines, and you're out. Isn't that elegant? Isn't that nice? So, any questions about that? Do you get the basic kind of concept of it? Like, just sing the verse with the word blah stuck in. And if you actually type this into Python, it'll do exactly that. It'll actually print the verse, print the verses in order three different ways, with waiting, hoping, and coming.
All right, so the last little piece that I want to define with this is,
so what is this magical X that's helping us out here? What is this X? This is a variable. Mostly we've talked about variables. I mean, if you've done algebra, you've seen variables that hold numbers. We've been talking about variables that hold Boolean variables. These are variables. This X here is actually a variable that can hold a word, can hold a string, can hold a sequence of letters. All right, so how does it do its thing? When we call mystery verse with the word waiting, it basically takes that X variable and assigns it to the word waiting. So whenever X appears, it actually acts just like it was the word waiting. This X is called the formal parameter. It's the thing that's holding the blank in the subroutine. This word waiting is the actual parameter. It's the word that we're actually assigning to that formal parameter when we go to execute the subroutine.
Okay. And what I'll start off with next time. No. I still have 2 minutes.
1 minute.
Okay. it's like a race with your will against my will.
What we'll do next time is explain how you can actually use this parameter idea to compress McDonald's.
You may go. We're going to call it a tie.